WWIB, quarter to six. It is 62 degrees. We call it First Thoughts. Jason Cans from Eau Claire. Halvo here from our studio in Halley. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I would love to see. I've seen all three of those guys individually, but I've never seen them together. I think that would be a neat thing.
When did you see Mac Powell in Third Day?
Third Day actually played at a American Association for Christian Counselors conference several years ago, and so was able to see them at that venue.
Yeah.
And, I actually loved their first album. I mean, I like most of them, but I think their first album was brilliant. I think it would be fun to see all three of them together.
You know, we talk about a lot of different things here on the radio and then even separately as friends. We don't necessarily talk a lot of music, really.
That's a surprise, because I think you and I both like music, and that'd be a fun conversation for us to have at some point as well.
I think we've covered. Is Andrew Peterson your favorite artist, though?
Yeah, Andrew Peterson is my favorite artist. And again, I think the influence that he was deeply influenced by Rich Mullins, who, of course, were this month.
Right, September 19th, 23 years since he left us at the young age of 41. All right, hey, we're picking up off. I asked you a question last week. What does it feel like to be wholehearted? How can you tell if you are or if you're at least moving in that direction? You pondered it and posted a column on Saturday at jasoncans.com, Cans, K-A-N-Z. We talked about the first, you're kind of unpacking this bit by bit. So we did the first paragraph yesterday. If you missed it, check the podcast for the WIB Wake Up Show. We move on to paragraph number two, wholehearted people have ballast. Pick it up from there.
Yeah, so I wrote, wholehearted people have ballast. In other words, they don't get easily blown off course when life gets tumultuous. Some people call this equanimity. I think in terms of what they feel. One of the questions you had asked is about what they feel. I think in terms of what wholehearted people feel is a sense of peace. They're not overwhelmed by emotional shifts, but they're also not numb to them.
Hmm. So again, just unpacking that. I mean, there's certain stability. So the idea of, again, when we talk about wholehearted, I mean, we don't necessarily hear about this all the time, but rather than being a divided self, being kind of having a wholeness within you lends you to that stability. Is that right?
That's right. You know, and there was a book written several years ago called Into the Silent Land, and I can't think of the author of it, but he talks about the storms that sometimes assail mountains, and we forget that we're not the storms, we're the mountain itself, you know, and in Christ we have this strong sense of, I used the word ballast. One of the things I've said in the past is that so often in this world we talk about having balance within our lives, and balance is good, but ballast is better. Ballast is the weight that centers a ship, that keeps it from being tipped over. And you know, for those of us who are in Christ, I think that's what we're shooting for. And again, I think peace comes from that.
Balance is good, but ballast is better. I've never heard that before. Hey, I looked up the author. Into the Silent Land. It's Martin Laird and Aaron Bennett.
That's right. Martin Laird and Aaron Bennett.
Never heard of the book before. All right, let's take another short one here.
Sure. So the next one is, wholehearted people are aware of the deep sense of interconnectedness to God, others, themselves, and to their place in creation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for me, this ties into that idea of ludio, of love up, down, in, and out, right? I mean, so we're not individuals floating along in a world disconnected from everything. We are deeply connected with God. We are in Christ. We are connected with other people in our immediate circle, but also out beyond that. As you had mentioned just a moment ago, this sense of self, not a divided self, but a complete self. And also, I think, to recognize that, you know, we are stewards of creation, that we are part of God's good created order.
Hmm. Three paragraphs into this, you can go check it out for yourself, folks. It is at jasoncans.com, and it's what does wholeheartedness look like? And so we'll continue to unpack this a little bit more tomorrow. I think maybe tomorrow we'll finish it up, huh?
Sounds good.
All right, very good. And I'm looking forward to next week. I gave you an assignment, a challenge yesterday, and so Life of the Beloved from Henry Nouwen, and he writes this for his friend Fred, who's a seeker, a secular guy, and at the end of it, as good as that book is, as great as it is, Fred's like, yeah, still, you know, here's five questions I still have. I'd like to hear you. And so we're going to throw those questions out to you to kind of try to address, okay?
Awesome. Sounds good.
Very good. Thank you. First Cup, good morning to Hillary.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Well, it had some challenges early on. We had technical difficulties. So Passion Radio was a little late out of the gate today. So
Happens.
And it was real warm in the studio.
Yeah, so. It is. It is feeling warm. I did that debate because yesterday was gorgeous. So I did the debate. Mm-hmm. Do I wear like capris and sandals and a summer top today? Or is it going to get chilly? Glad I chose the summer attire today because it's toasty in here.
Yeah, it is. And so. You're going to love all this, each and every one of the special events today. So let's alternate. And have at it today, and I guess I'll go first. Mayflower Day today, so I think maybe the Mayflower arriving.
Yeah.
The whole deal. So what else do we got?
Step Family Day.
It is guacamole.
Love some guacamole.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Play-Doh Day.
Mm. I wish you would get the next one. Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day.
No, I'd like the cinnamon bread. I could go without the raisins.
She is so harsh on her raisin
attack. They're so gross.
They're not.
They're really bad. American Legion Day.
Collect Rocks Day.
We do collect rocks. Did you know that? And we polish rocks. Mm. We are rock polishers. Mm-hmm. So, and Working Parents Day.
Very good. You collectively, your family has so many things.
We have so many odd.
I mean, your husband said to me the other day, he's just like, I don't dabble well.
No, he doesn't. He says that he jumps, he dabbles by jumping in up to his ankles if he goes in head first.
Yeah.
And that's so true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of strikes a little fear in my heart when he's like, I was thinking I would try such and such. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, you said kayaking recently, right?
Yeah, kayaking. Yeah, do you know what our plans are for kayaking?
No.
Because, you know, we've never kayaked before. So why not plan a trip kayaking on the Mississippi from St. Louis to Louisiana?
Wow.
Yeah, that's the long-range plan.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, no, we're going to kayak from St. Louis all the way down to New Orleans at some point, I've been told.
Wow.
So,
all right. Well,
and you know, when looking at the adventures we've had on our bike trips, I kind of think we're actually going to do this.
Wouldn't rule it out for sure.
We'll see.
Thanks, Hillary. Talk to you in a little bit.
It'll happen, I promise.
It's a long intro.
Wait for it. Wait for it. It's worth it.
If I had $1 million. There we go.
There it is.
All right. Our headline.
A slow burn.
Not quite millions, but billions. A billionaire who wanted to die broke is now officially broke. And you say, that seems like kind of a downer. No, actually. Hang tight. Charles or Chuck Feeney is 89 years old. Back in 1960, he co-founded an airport retailer and amassed billions of dollars while living very, very frugally.
I love that.
Very frugally. Now, as a philanthropist, he pioneered the idea of giving while living. Spending most of your fortune on big hands-on charity projects instead of funding a foundation upon your death. And again, you know, we see that a lot. There's a foundation in memory of so-and-so, but his idea was, hey, you can't take it with you. Why not give it all away while you can see the good that it does?
Right.
Pretty cool. Over the last four decades, Mr. Feeney has donated more than $8 billion, with a B, more than $8 billion to charities, universities, and foundations worldwide.
Wow.
In an interview 8 years ago, he estimated he'd set aside about $2 million for his and his wife's retirement. Hillary and I were talking about this off the air, Mark. That's actually, you know, you say, oh, $2 million. But I mean,
for
in today's world.
And I mean, let's face it, the man was a billionaire. He's still living on a tiny fraction of what he could have. So, yeah.
So out of billions and billions, he left aside $2 million for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. A stat says he has given away 375,000% more money than his current net worth.
Wow.
And he gave it away anonymously.
Wow. Fantastic.
I love him, and I wish him all the best in his retirement.
They're going to live out their lives in a San Francisco apartment, which honestly, having been to San Francisco, that's probably why they need $2 million for retirement, because gas is like $2 more expensive there than anywhere else.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Warren Buffett in terms of, you know, really, really wealthy people living somewhat humbly. And I was looking up, what does Warren Buffett drive? He now is driving a 2014 Cadillac, but previously was driving a 2006. So again, but he's one of the richest guys in the world. Right?
Yeah. There you go. That's why my husband and I drive such old, modest vehicles, I'm sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's why. That's all we can afford.
I just, you know, the not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing when it comes to giving. And so we're finding out about this now. We say, well, he has given away anonymously. Well, for 40 years, he's given it away anonymously. And now we find out what this man has been doing. So,
I love that.
I shared this Winston Churchill quote yesterday on Facebook. We make a living by what we get, but Churchill said we make a life by what we give. Boy, this guy gave.
You can't pull a U-Haul behind a hearse. Mm-mm.
You cannot, indeed.
Apparently, National Play-Doh Day was either yesterday or today, so celebrate for 48 hours. Why not? But did you guys know that Play-Doh was invented by Cincinnati soap maker Noah McVicker as a wallpaper cleaner?
I had no idea.
It was created at the request of the Kroger grocery store chain, which wanted a product that could clean coal residue from wallpaper.
I know Kroger from when I went to school out in that area. So
coal residue.
Following World War II, with the transition from coal-based home heating to natural gas and the resulting decrease in soot, as well as the introduction of washable vinyl-based wallpaper, the market for wallpaper cleaners dried up. So McVicker's nephew, Joe, came up with an idea to save the company. He'd heard about how wallpaper cleaner was being used in some classrooms for art projects.
Huh.
Facing bankruptcy, Noah proved to be very pliable. Noah and Joe reworked the product, began marketing it as a modeling compound for kids. And I think it worked.
I think so.
Yeah.
September 16th, 1955 is Plato's birth date. More than 752 million pounds of Play-Doh have been created. They sell 100 million cans annually. Is it just me? I really like the smell when you pop off the top of a Play-Doh.
It's very nostalgic,
yes. I don't know if it's a good smell, but I like it.
It's a nostalgic smell, yes. We have had so much Play-Doh over the years. I don't think we have any Play-Doh in our homes at the moment. It works great, apparently, on wallpaper. Not so much on carpet, just saying.
Yeah, there are some negatives. Yes. There are some drawbacks. There are some concerns, right?
Play-Doh was inducted into the Toy Hall of Fame in 1998.
And wow.
My favorite Play-Doh toy growing up was a Sesame Street barbershop.
Oh.
And so it had little holes in the heads of Elmo and Grover and
nice.
Such. And so, if you push the Play-Doh up through, and then it would, look kind of like going spaghetti, and then you could give them different hairstyles.
So it's really fun to play with on your own, whatever you could. But when all of a sudden you bring these devices in as well, and you can create and manufacture.
Love Play-Doh.
How do you feel about mixing colors?
I actually do not care for that.
Thank you.
As a father of young children,
it just happens. And especially when I buy the little cans, because sometimes around Christmas they're really cheap and you buy a whole bunch. It's like, you just mixed them all together.
Yeah.
But it makes them happy. They're happy doing it.
You got to put the lid on.
Or it dries out.
Yes.
Hey, we've talked about capitalism earlier this hour. Philanthropy, a guy giving things away. And this guy was near bankruptcy, creates Play-Doh. Here's the deal in closing. The McVickers decided to approach Captain Kangaroo and persuaded him to start featuring Play-Doh on his show, and he'd get 2% of the sales. And so it worked.
Right on.
Wow.
There you go.
I love America.
I had no idea about the Captain Kangaroo connection there. That's exciting.
WWIB, the Whip Wake Up Show, Caleb, Hillary, and Halvo with you on this 16th of September, Wednesday, and a week and a half coming up, a week from Saturday, the 26th in D.C. A really big event called The Return is going on. We got two guests on the line to talk about it. Kevin Jessup is the co-chair of the event, and we've got Mike Lindell from MyPillow. So good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
All right. Good morning to each of you. I think, Kevin, let's start with you, actually. I mean, your co-chair, tell us about The Return. What's it all about?
Well, The Return is a special historic day in America's future. And it starts with the 10 days of awe at the beginning of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, as we go through the 10 days. And we end up on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, the Day of Repentance. And this year it's special. It's Shabbat Shuvah, which Rabbi Kahn is going to unpack in a prophetic word at the mall. But this is a time where the nation in a critical situation is much like Jonah going into Nineveh and stating that we have 40 days and then it's all over. And much like Nineveh, America's in that same situation. So the righteous remnant are going in, the bride of Christ is going into the nation's capital to bend our knee before a holy God and in holy reverence ask him to have mercy upon us in the times of judgment that we are now finding ourselves in this nation. So it's crucial that we cry out to God and we're believing for the latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit to move all across the world. And Isaiah says, I'm going to stand up for the sake of my own name. I'm going to arise for the sake of my own name. And we believe that Jesus Christ is about to do that. And so we're joining him in this moment, this Kairos moment.
Mike Lindell, how did you get involved with this movement, The Return?
Well, I was, I spoke out from the Rose Garden that a nation had turned its back on God and we need to get back in the Word. And we were part of we were in the midst of the most, I believe, the biggest revival in history coming. And Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, he had actually baptized me in the Jordan River, and they reached out to me and Kevin and told me about The Return, that you need to have repentance before you can have revival. And it just made so sense. I just went all in. And I'll be speaking there now. And it coincides also with my Lindell Recovery Network, which is going to help get people in addiction to Jesus, and by the millions. This will be the most amazing platform ever launched. And this will be a continue on from The Return afterwards. I just went all in. I think our nation and our world, we need repentance. And it's going to be the biggest revival in history. And I'm really excited.
So, Mike, talking more about the addiction side of things, how can addicts and their families become filled with hope?
Well, we're going to launch it that day. It's the Lindell Recovery Network. And by the way, if you're getting, if you donate to The Return, you're going to get one of my books free. And it's called What Are the Odds from Crack Addict to CEO? Me being a former addict, I know this help that's going to come is in hundreds of thousands of churches, faith-based treatment centers across the country, and the best online help ever. I mean, people out there right now, and this kind of came, I got all this download from God over the last couple of years, but people right now, even before this pandemic, I view addiction as an opportunity in history. People don't look for hope unless things are bad. That things are going bad. A lot of people don't. But everybody's affected by addiction, no matter how many forks you eat with. It's not just some addict on the street. And they need hope. And I think if you're out there now and you're hearing this program, everybody knows people that have died from our children dying from heroin overdose and opiates, fentanyl. Well, you know what? Everybody also knows people that have made it through. And I call them hope masters. You need to go out and look and say, wow, there's my friend. He made it through. Or there's a person that I know that made it through. And go to them. Find out how they made it through. And you're going to find out that hope is Jesus. That'll be their foundation. It's going to change our country. People need hope right now, and that'll be the revival. This isn't just to get people out of addiction. This is to fill those wounds I believe addiction comes from a lot of it from childhood, from trauma, fatherlessness. It's going to be amazing.
All right. Thank you. We're visiting with Mike Lindell and Kevin Jessup here on WWIB. Guys, stay on the line. We're going to grab a couple quick ads here and we'll be right back with you.
The WIB Wake Up Show, Caleb, Mark, and Hillary. We're talking with Kevin Jessup, co-founder of The Return, and Mike Lindell, as the MyPillow guy. Don't forget, you can use that promo code WWIB at MyPillow.com.
Kevin, for you, I mean, a lot of people are going to be in D.C., but many others will be interested across the nation and can't get there. So for them, is there a way that they can take part in The Return going on a week from Saturday, September 26th?
Absolutely. We have over 30,000 churches all around the world simulcasting, live streaming into the event. So if you go to thereturn.org, click on the simulcast page, all the instructions of how you can be a host, whether it's in your home, your Bible study, your church, wherever you're at. We have entire cities
having jumbotrons in their city squares, and churches are gathering together in cities like they are here in Florida for this event. So it'll be broadcast in 90 languages in 150 nations across the globe on every continent.
And again, you can go to thereturn.org to find out more. Mike Lindell and Kevin Jessup, we appreciate so much you joining us today. And again, our nation is not just in an election season. All throughout, we are so in need of revival and turning back to Jesus. And so may God guide our leaders. May God guide our nation and turn our hearts back to him.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for having us on, guys.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
God bless you. God bless you.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.